Living on the road, my friend. Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Wednesday morning. Text line if you want to be in touch with the show, 251-343-0106. Still coming on the program about an hour from now. Joey Clark from News Talk 93.1 in Montgomery, our Wednesday regular. And in the 11 o'clock hour, Congressman Gary Palmer from the 6th Congressional District will be with us. We'll talk government shutdown and what's going on, the latest on that in Washington, D.C. Joining us now, he's a candidate for the Senate, but he's also our Attorney General. Steve Marshall joins us on the line. General, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Good to be with you. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for making time for us. Well, we'll kick it off here. Big news yesterday. And, the Farm Pack, Alpha, their political arm, made their endorsements, and you're at the top of the list. React to that, if you would.
Humbled and really appreciative of having the support of farmers throughout Alabama. As you well know, Alpha is probably the largest grassroots organization in the state, and it is truly driven by local communities making decisions about who they want to serve in elected office. For me, the endorsement for our next United States Senator. But very appreciative of that. And I think what they had the ability to do is to evaluate what I've done now for now almost 9 years as Attorney General, how we've been responsive to the issues that affect our agriculture community, and how they believe I can be effective in Congress in trying to address the issues that affect Alabama farmers daily.
Well, let's talk about that. I mean, in your role as a U.S. Senator, potentially, I mean, there's really a lot at stake here for ag and the ag economy in Alabama. But what do you see there? What sort of measures need to be taken or supported? What are you hearing there from farmers?
Yeah, a couple of things. Number one, I think we got to remember that while agriculture is a significant driver of our economy, over $51 billion economic impact to Alabama, the Alabama farmers truly are kind of that cultural centering spot of who we are as a state. I mean, the family farm really is what made Alabama great. And so I think what farmers are looking for is not only what impacts the economic side of their jobs, but also kind of the very principled things that they care about just with faith, family, and freedom. And so the United States Senator, I need to be able to deliver on both of those fronts. We've got to get a farm bill passed. And while the big, beautiful bill obviously had some impact to be able to help farmers relating to reference prices that they can depend on for commodities that they're growing, you know, they have faced maybe the most significant impact of the Biden inflation as it involves input cost and how it is that they make a living. I think farmers tell me and kind of jokingly say, you know, we sell at wholesale and buy retail, right? I mean, it's not the easiest thing to do to be able to make a living. And when we want to be able to cultivate and secure our, you know, national security, both with food security and the ability of farmers to be able to make a living, we need to be able to do things that support them. And so farm bill is important. Reference prices are important. And, you know, also continue to hear H-2A program is important to many throughout Alabama. And, you know, excessive fees and costs being associated with that. And we need to make sure that's an affordable program that they can be able to use.
I guess talk about this because, you know, I used to be kind of like the wild-eyed idealist when it came to these things. Why are we propping up farmers? Shouldn't the market, you know, be king here and talk about subsidies and all that? But you look at it and I guess number one, the ag economy is there's way too many variables just to let it kind of the laws of economics dictate the business climate for that. But number two, that you got to have a stable food supply. So you kind of got to do it this way because it's a national security sort of, you know, food security is national security, as they say. Well, that's true. If people are starving, then the country's destabilized. And we learned that from the early part of the last century. But that seems to be sort of the wisdom here.
It is. And, you know, look, when we talk about food security, we should have learned our lesson during COVID as it relates to us being able to have the things that we need to be supplied to everyday Americans. I mean, when we're having to reach out to foreign countries to give us things that we needed during the COVID pandemic, then it reflected poorly on what our manufacturing capability was in Alabama. It's one of the reasons why President Trump is trying to direct jobs and manufacturing capacity here so that American depend on American manufacturers to be able to do it. shouldn't we absolutely believe that same concept applies to what it is that feeds our families? And so supporting agriculture in the United States is extremely important. And, you know, you talk about reference prices and it gets nuanced into kind of these policy arguments. It's really about having a baseline that farmers every year can depend on to be able to be paid for the commodities they produce. You know, it's not making them rich by any stretch of the imagination. In fact, farmers will tell you that the margins right now are remarkably slim, but reference prices are at least setting that baseline that gives them the security to continue to make this the occupation that they want to be able to fulfill by helping Americans have food on their table that they can depend on.
Well, yeah. And, you know, you talk to farmers and, you know, some of these, not necessarily big, giant, big ag kind of farms, but, you know, at least the medium-sized ones in this state, they're just throwing in the towel, a lot of them, that the inputs are way too high. The marketplace is not conducive. You want to obviously make a profit here, not lose money year after year after year. You don't just exist to exist. What do you think the state of that is in this state? Like, you know, you talk to these guys far more than I do, but that's what I do talk to them. That's what they tell me. Well, we're not going to do this anymore. We're going to do something different, or we're just going to sell the land and sell it to a developer or whatever.
I think, Jeff, that's exactly it. I think we're at that inflection point. And look, Baldwin County is one of the places that I spent a lot of time in, and you heard local farmers say, right now, it's so tough to make a living. Why don't I sell the family farm to a developer to put a residential community there? And I can take that money and be able to do something else to be able to supply what my family needs. And when they're facing those questions, and it's not because they want to get out of farming. It's not because they don't enjoy ag. Many are proud of the fact that they're second and third and fourth generation farmers. It's part of who they are and it's part of their DNA. But yet they have to be realistic too. And when they can't supply what their family needs with a farm and be able to make a decent living, then they have to be able to do something else. And again, I think that cuts against not only what that has been as a driver in our economy, in our state, in our nation, but again, it also, I think family farms are just sort of the core of who we are as a state. And when we lose that, I think we lose a little bit about who we are as Alabamians.
Yeah, because, historically, this has been a very agriculture state, driven state. And maybe not as true anymore. Some of that is just that we put such an emphasis on either job readiness or college prep, but we're not, or maybe you just don't see it every day, but training that next generation of farmers and setting them up for success.
Yeah, it's one thing, and it's sad a little bit when, look, I love what I've had an opportunity to do 25 years now working with law enforcement. And when I meet with law enforcement officers who say, look, I've told my son or daughter, don't follow my footsteps because here's the difficulty in being able to be in law enforcement now. It's sad because law enforcement is such a noble profession. Same's true in farming communities. When you hear farmers say, I just can't tell my son or daughter to stay and work on the family farm because I don't see that as being the life that they need moving forward. We got to change that. And I think that's one of the things that I want to be able to do is to be that advocate to uniquely as Attorney General. I've been able to be the voice of Alabama on so many important issues. Going to the United States Senate, I want to be able to continue to be able to be that voice and definitely want to be able to be that voice for those who are involved in agriculture in our state.
Joined by Attorney General Steve Marshall, candidate for United States Senate here in Alabama. General, let's talk about some other things. Aside from the big endorsement yesterday, what are you seeing out there? How's the campaign going?
It's going great. We've been on the road a lot. We got 50 sheriffs and DAs across the state that have endorsed us. Got the endorsement from Associated Builders Contractors the other day that have such wonderful projects. They're going up throughout Alabama and driving our economy. And so excited about those endorsements. But it's, even more, Jeff, I spent an hour to kill in gas the other day. I'm sitting at the Chick-fil-A and having a guy walk up to me and just saying, can you have a seat? And just want to share with me his excitement about what I'm doing and running for the Senate. He was appreciative of what I've done as Attorney General and was just very prayerful about what was next for me. Those are the things that are affirming in making the decision to run, to work the long hours and see the people in the state. But the beauty of a campaign is running into people like that. who can share with you the problems they're facing, what it is they think that you can do to be able to help, and know that based on the record that I've shown, that I'm a tough conservative fighter that delivers results, they have hope that we can be able to make changes in Washington that will be helpful. And so it's exciting to be out there. Look, we got 7+ months to go before, you know, the primary gets here, and lots of work to be able to do. But if the polling's right and where we are right now is in a good position, we just need to be able to leverage that momentum and be able to do good things in the campaign.
Any reaction to Paul Feinbaum's name being mentioned as one of your potential opponents?
No. Look, if Paul gets in it, he will have an opportunity to be able to share a vision for what he believes. So he described President Trump as acting like a child. President Trump rightfully was concerned about people kneeling during the national anthem as a form of protest and how disrespectful that was to not only to our flag and to our nation. You know, if he believes that's the way that we ought to act, I'm sure that voters of Alabama will have a response to that.
Yeah, well, it's kind of the product of being on radio and filling 4 hours every day, I suppose. There's going to be a lot of tape. Well, put on your AG hat. Let's talk about this and the idea of putting federal troops in cities. And the governor's kind of been a little dismissive of it happening here in Alabama, but you look at that, and I mean, we've seen it in some places. What do you think of that, especially if it pertains to sort of, you know, backing up law enforcement, I suppose?
Yeah, I think what you saw in D.C. was just simply trying to supplement the decreasing numbers of law enforcement in our nation's capital, and the fact that when law enforcement not there, bad guys get to do bad things. And while the troops don't have the ability to arrest, their presence alone was a deterrent to criminal activity taking place. And so I think more than just simply the concept of the military, it's just the ability to surge individuals into communities that are struggling as a way of being able to reduce crime. And I think we've seen an example in Montgomery that had the ability to lead that charge with Hal Taylor and Sheriff Cunningham in Montgomery. When we were able to put together a coalition of law enforcement from all of our agencies, put them in areas in which Montgomery were struggling, we've now had over, I think the number is now 500 arrests and less than 170 days of work. We've served over 1,000 outstanding warrants, including those for capital murders and robberies. And we saw a reduction in violent crime as a result of that. So I think what President Trump's mindful of is when we have, as a result of the defund the police movement, whether the actual reality or just the creation of law enforcement to get out of the profession, and you're struggling to be able to get up to adequate numbers, he wants to be able to help communities get safer. And what I've heard is the narrative in D.C. from those communities that are hurt is we've welcomed the presence of the National Guard there because they've seen it result in tangible results in being able to be safer. I think the same thing would happen in other states if they would allow that to happen or find some other vehicle to be able to do it.
But that was the mandate in 24 election that, you know, crime, at least a perception of crime, it was out of control, not enough was being done, and typically, this is a local issue, local law enforcement, but when it became a national issue, and I suppose the tools at the disposal of the federal government can be limited in some ways, but it's not as if we weren't, this wasn't on our minds when we elected Trump last year.
Oh, it was one of the paramount issues of his campaign. Talking about law and order and making sure that we create accountability. Look, when you have a mayor of Chicago who wants to somehow justify what was it, almost 60 shootings on a weekend where 8 people were killed, it's just kind of, well, that's just kind of how things are. That's unacceptable. And it's unacceptable to the people for which he represents. And look, the question of public safety shouldn't be a red or a blue issue. Everyone deserves the right to be safe in their own communities and safe in their own homes. And when you have individuals like that mayor not delivering for the people that he represents, then sometimes there's the need for urgent action. I'm grateful for the fact that we have a president who doesn't back away from difficult positions, and I support his effort to be able to support local communities to be safer.
We'll wind it down on this. You know, obviously right now the federal government's shut down, and I don't think it's going to be the typical shutdown where Republicans t- take the blame here, but what do you make of it? What do you're watching this from afar? What's your reaction to it?
Yeah, the Schumer shutdown so that he can defeat AOC for his next Senate campaign. That's what's going on right now. We have Chuck Schumer holding the American people hostage because he doesn't want to do what he said a year ago was the responsible thing to do to be able to keep the federal government open. 7 weeks is all the clean CR would do. So that what Speaker Johnson was talking about the other day, just to make sure that we try to get the budgeting process back on track in Congress, where it's been off the rails now for several years, needs to get back to its customary role of setting that budget and allowing for agencies to know what spending looks like, to allow for oversights of committees and do agency spending so we know where waste, fraud, and abuse is. But yet Schumer, for his own political gain or to make sure that illegal immigrants somehow get federal dollars continuing, he's willing to keep our veterans from getting the benefits they need or women getting formula for kids that they need it. This is a Democrats' problem, and it lays at Chuck Schumer's lap.
General, we got to leave it there. Folks want to find out more about your candidacy or how they get in touch. How can they do so?
SteveMarshallForSenate.com. It's our website, and we're out both on Facebook as well as on Twitter. You can see where we are all over the state of Alabama, seeing people and share the message of what we want to do in the United States Senate to deliver results to the people of our state.
Steve Marshall, ladies and gentlemen. General, thanks again.
Thank you.
All right, let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
It's good to see you. I must go.